Good morning, Radiant Life. It is so good to be here with each and every one of you, whether you're in the building or whether you're at home watching online. We are just excited that we get to spend Sunday morning together. And just looking out, so glad to see so many new faces with us this morning. And I just want to welcome you, say thank you for coming to Radiant Life Church this morning. Hope you enjoy yourself and feel the presence of Jesus, because that is what it is all about. And this morning, we're starting a brand new sermon series called Romans Road Trip. And that means we're going to be in the book of Romans here for the next several weeks. And I encourage you, when you're at home, maybe when you're driving your car, maybe you run or you walk, I encourage you to read, to listen to, the book or read the book of Romans several times. Just let it become just a natural part of you. And that's going to make what we do on Sunday morning all the better. Because we've already, you're in it, you've read it, you kind of know where we're going. And so I encourage you to jump in personally at home, and then it's just going to be all the more exciting when we come together and study the Word together on Sunday mornings. And just look forward to what the Lord has to say in the book of Romans, as it is a powerful, powerful book. Now this morning, jumping right in, Romans is super, it's just is really about righteousness. That's what it's all about, if you really boil it down. That word is used over and over and over again in this book. But specifically, chapter 1, verses 26 through 32, some interesting things happen. And this is your assignment for this week. Read Romans 1, 26 through 32. Look into it, because we're not going to talk about that today. But it talks all about our issues, our problems, our sin, things we get locked up in, things that mess us up, that cause what we're going to talk about today, which begins in verse 18, which is God's wrath being poured out on humanity. Now, who likes God's wrath? You're excited? This is going to be good? Zero hands. I got zero hands. I can't believe that. Roger, I thought I could count on you at least. Come on. At least one, no? But we're going to talk about God's wrath here. In fact, in my Bible, the headline says, God's wrath on unrighteousness. And I think if I had a low booming voice, this is really not what we want. Nobody ever said, all I want is some good wrath poured out upon me. Right? I mean, nobody. I'm pretty sure you never thought that even. Lord, if someone would just pour some wrath out upon me, that would be really good. But here today, we're going to look in Romans chapter 1 and see God's wrath and what that means, what that looks like. In humanity. And in fact, verse 18 begins by saying, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The wrath of God, referring to judgment upon evil. And in this case, the big key that I want us to point out and what we're going to study today is that the wrath of God really is when God gives us over to our sin. There's nothing worse. There's no worse moment in our life when all of a sudden we are in the presence of God, or we're just doing our thing, or we're out far away from the presence of God, and God says, it's okay. Pastor Rachel, do whatever you want. I just don't care anymore. You do it. Right? That's not where you want God to be. In fact, in the first service, I was talking about my little man Chandler, our five-year-old, and there would be nothing worse as a parent for me to say, hey, Chandler, you've got a lot of energy. You want to do things that I don't like, that don't line up with the word. Just go for it. Do whatever you want. I'm going to stop disciplining you. I'm not going to take care of you anymore in that. You just do whatever you want. It'll be fun. That would be horrible, horrible parenting, right? That child would turn into a little devil, right? Thank you. Thank you. That would not be a good situation. And if God does that with us, then we are in a big moment of problems. Now, this morning, we're talking about the Romans road trip. And when I think of road trip, when I was a kid, my family, we would always go on these long, adventuresome trips. We would normally take the church van. We'd pack the five of us up in the church van. And the very back of the church van, we'd take out the last seat. So it's a 15-passenger van. We take out the back seat, and then we put all of our stuff in there. And some people might just be appalled by this. This was 20 years ago, so it was okay back then. But then we would put a bed on top of that or some pillows, and then someone would sleep or lay on top of the luggage, the whole time. So we would rotate through as children. If Dad, when he wasn't driving, he might go back there and lay on top. It was the most comfortable seat in the house. You might be this far from the roof, so you just could squeeze in there, and it was good. But we went to a lot of different places. One, I don't know why it stands out to me, but Crazy Horse, this huge sculpture they're making, continuing to make in this huge piece of rock. It's really cool, of Crazy Horse, and he's standing there with his finger pointed out. They finished his head now, which is cool with the headdress on, but I was thinking about it. I saw it because the Hammetts went out that direction recently. I see them back there. It looks exactly the same as it did 20 years ago to me. Like, you can watch a weekly thing. If you go to Crazy Horse, I don't know whatever the website is, but you can watch them live, like, blow stuff up. And but it didn't change. Like, how can they work for 20 years and it not change? I'm not sure, but that sticks out to me. The Grand Canyon is one of those places that, once you see, how many have been to the Grand Canyon? The first service, there are a whole lot more than this. It is amazing. You should go. It is grand. There's a name that it's called that. A reason it's called that. And you don't forget seeing the Grand Canyon. I know my mom, Pike's Peak was one. I don't think she'll ever forget because she was in that church van. And generally speaking, all you do is go up and back and up and back. And there's very few guardrails, let's just say. And if you drive off of the cliff, you just dead, because you just go down and down and down, and it is not a good situation. I remember that vividly as Dad being, you know, just a real nice and easy driver. No, he's not. It was like a race. How fast can I get this church van, this 15-passenger church van? I believe we took the brown church van back in the day. Anybody remember the brown church van? There's a few of you out here. Yeah, we took that. That is not safe. That should never go up Pike's Peak. Well, now it's dead, so it can't. But I just remember these moments. But one specific that might even stand out above all of these awesome things, where we were driving one night, it may have even been going to a Grand Canyon, or who knows. And we were driving, we're going to drive into Las Vegas, and we were going to stay there for the night, just find a hotel. Generally, we didn't stay in hotels, because either my parents were cheap, or poor, or just didn't like to, so we always camped everywhere we went. But we were going to get there late, so we were like, we're going to get one hotel. It's probably our one hotel, Pastor Dennis, for 3 weeks when we were on this trip. And so we were going to get this hotel, and we drive in to Las Vegas, right, Sin City. We drive in to, you know, what happens here stays here sort of thing. And all of a sudden, we were all asleep. The kids were. Dad, thankfully, was not as he was driving. And we woke up. And it was like there was an uneasiness in our car. It was like, where are we? It just didn't feel good. I don't know. That's all I can feel. At the time, you know, as a 13, 14, 15-year-old, I was just like, I don't like this. None of us liked it. And so Dad, after all of this driving, we decided we would keep driving through Las Vegas, which guess what's after Las Vegas? Nothing. So we had to drive, I think, another hour and a half or two to find a hotel that we could stay at for the night. But it was just weird, this feeling of uneasiness. And when I've been thinking this week about the wrath of God, what can be more uneasy than a place, or when we are in a place where we call it Sin City? Like, we say what happens here stays here. That's the whole concept. What happens in our lives if there's areas where we begin to do or say those things? This one specific area, this one specific maybe compartment, city in my life, it's Sin City. It's okay. It's just right there. And we decide to overlook that area, to look elsewhere, to do other things. But that area, we're just going to let it be. And in fact, have billboards, flashing lights, come to Sin City, come to Las Vegas, come do whatever you want. There's no consequences when you're there. That, if God lets us do that, is the wrath of God being poured out in our life. That means I no longer am convicted. I no longer care about that area. All of a sudden, something that is against the word of God becomes fine in my life. And in fact, so often have you seen it, we can begin to celebrate the things that actually are the most destructive in our lives. When God lets us, gives us over to unrighteousness, there's no greater wrath than that. And when I think of this wrath, I am so excited that we are saved from the wrath of God that we righteously deserve, right? I am so thankful. If you're here today and you're like, I'm a mess, I've made mistakes, I've hurt people. In fact, unrighteousness or righteousness, that would be hurting a person, like a person hurting a person, where ungodliness would be hurting God or going against God's law. If you say, I have hurt people, I've done things, praise the Lord that Jesus came to save us from our unrighteousness. It's not your and my job to have never sinned, because that we're going to, we did, we will. But it's our job to submit ourselves to God and say, my unrighteousness, I give that to God. I'm not going to keep doing that. In fact, turning to Jesus, turning, we use that word, because you were going one way and you turn your back on it, you leave it, you repent of those things, and you instead go the other way. Today, I want to look at three things that we see here between Romans 1, 18 and 25. And it's really wrath revealed in these things. The first is wrath revealed in the righteousness exchange. It says in verse 18, who by their unrighteousness. This righteousness language throughout Romans is prevalent. It's all over it. Most scholars, many would say that is the point of this book, is to help unrighteous people line up once again with their righteousness, what God would do in and through them. Three main words in this book that would be translated in our Bible are righteousness, which is used 34 times. Justify is used 15 times. Just is used 7 times. And there's 15 other instances that are associated with the word righteousness. When we think about the Bible and you think about Old Testament and looking at maybe this thought of righteousness throughout the Word of God, we see that these words suggest that they often and perhaps even basically allude to the notion of doing or being right. The rightness being determined by the particular situation in which one is placed. A weight, in fact, biblically, is right when it conforms to agreed upon standards of measurements, like in Leviticus 19:36. Noah is right when he conforms to God's will for him in Genesis 6:9. A person, whether in covenant relationship or not, is right when he or she conforms to the standards built into this world by God. All through the book of Proverbs, you can see this theme. An Israelite was right when he or she conforms to the expectations of the covenant relationship. Ezekiel 18:9 and many others. God's decrees are right when and because they conform to his own personal will. Right? God is right because it conforms to himself, righteousness. God's decrees are right when and because of who he is. God is right when he punishes his people in Nehemiah 9:33. Because this judgment is in conformity with God's warning about punishment for covenant unfaithfulness. And at the same time, God is right when he acts to vindicate his people. Like in Isaiah 51:4-8. Because this too is in conformity to his gracious promise to redeem his people after judgment. Righteousness is lining up with our Heavenly Father. Righteousness, in fact, which would go against the norm of our day, is, use the word norm, is coming into a norm that is under and because of relationship with God. Righteousness is not looking at news or media or our government or anybody else to say, what should I do? What should I be? Who I should be? But instead, righteousness is conforming to the norm that is found in the Word of God, to the scriptures that God have. Which means if I don't know what to do, and if I'm confused based on what I see on social media or on Fox or CNN or whatever news is your choice, probably none would be a better one. That's a maybe even better choice. But is what should we do? Look in the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only norm that we can come under, because it is a representation of God. Today, nothing is more important than the people of God normalizing under the Word of God and who God is. There's nothing else we can do, because that is what righteousness is walking in what God has for us. It is vital. It is of vital importance today, because wrath is revealed in the righteousness exchange. Psalm 98:1-3 says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. There is no righteousness that is not found in the conformity to the norm found through relationship with God. And you see it all through the Word of God. The Old Testament is all about getting the people of Israel to a place where they can accept and understand the significance of Jesus coming to die for them, to die for their sin, and thus to die for our sin. Righteousness coming under the norm of who God is. There's this wrath revealed in the righteousness exchange when we take unrighteousness. Wrath is also revealed in the truth exchange. Verse 18 says they suppress the truth. The Greek word used here for truth usually refers to the gospel. Here, however, it refers more generally to the truth about God, about who he is. Those who suppress the truth, deny what is made obvious about God through creation. When I think about our world, when I think about even right after service, if you're here with us, you're going to go outside and you're going to see trees and plants. You're even going to see crazy things like blacktop and concrete and how God has put all of these things together that we get to live in. We get to just be amazed at. I mentioned the Grand Canyon and Pikes Peak, that even through creation and then through a flood, how God could put all of the pieces together to this amazing world that we live in. And I don't know about anybody else, but when you go outside at night on a really clear night, preferably out in the country, and you look up, and it is spectacular. But then just get a little telescope, just a little one, and you can see so much of the universe that God created. There's no way that we can say there is not a God in heaven just from what he has shown us and placed in front of us, wherever we are, and in whatever we are doing. Romans 1, 19 through 20, it says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." And I am so thankful that our loving God put a world before us that points to who he is, that tell the world of who he is without a word ever needing to be spoken. God is loving and he cares for you. And when we start to doubt or when we have tough times or tough moments, to me, just turn on or just open up that big sky on a black night, turn it and look at the wonder of who God is. Say, "Lord, whatever my struggles are, whatever my problems are, you created this, and I'm going to be just fine. I'm going to be able to plug into you. I'm going to walk in righteousness because look at how spectacular you are." The God of the universe, he loves us. He's given us clues of his existence and character to his creation, which leaves humanity without excuse. Today, I can think of this, the worst wrath we could have is to walk away from the clarity of who God is, from what he's put in his word, what he's put in our sky, what he's put in his creation, because our world needs you and needs me to talk about, to put to words what we can experience with our eyes and what he's put in creation. Wrath is revealed when we exchange the truth for a lie. And third is wrath is revealed in the glory exchange. Verse 21 says, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools." And verse 23, "And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." They exchanged the glory of the immortal God basically for a facade, for whatever could be placed in front of them, for something that is not real. When I think of Hollywood, if you've ever been to Hollywood, it is a crazy place because you're on the main strip and there's all the little stars celebrating all of the famous people. But if you go one block outside of that main street, most of it is an absolute mess. It's dangerous. It doesn't look good. It's not, it's just a bad situation. So often we can put a facade up in our life that we hide the truth. We hide what God is doing. We hide the sin and the hurt and the abuse that is taking place. Just like Hollywood, the actual city, does a really good job of. If you come in on the right road and you park in the right parking lot and you walk down the right street, it looks really amazing. But if you get off that path, you start to see that we cannot do whatever we want. We cannot be whatever we want and walk in hope and in peace and in righteousness, love for one another. We think of this idol. We don't have a lot of idols maybe in today in a physical way, except maybe our TVs. That's a really good one. We kind of hang that right on the wall. We put it in the middle. Normally, we place all of our couches around it. So that's like the closest thing to an idol you can say, right? How many have a TV in a prominent location with your couches kind of circling it? Yes, everyone else is, there we go. Most of you are honest, right? That could be maybe an idol. Or maybe another one is our phone. Anybody, you have to have that phone. Have you ever left your home? It doesn't matter where you are, you somehow forgot your phone. Like, if you're me, like, how can you forget your phone one day out of hundreds of days? But then you either go back and then your day is normal and you're like, okay, this is fine. Or if you can't go back, then the whole day is like worthless because I can't get to my phone. I can't see it, right? Maybe you're not like me, but that, you know, maybe that would be an idol. But we don't generally sit an actual like image of a dog or a bird or something. That would be weird, I think. We don't normally like bow down to it. That would be super weird. But in our spirit, it's so easy to let things get in the place of honor in front of God, to become an idol in front of us. We exchange the glory of the immortal God for things and for stuff and for feelings so that we feel good about whatever that thing is in our life. And in fact, today, even religion can be an idol. We can get lost in rules and regulation and law. We can get lost in even trying to avoid the wrath of God, that instead of serving the creator of the universe, we can lock ourselves in a box and completely miss the whole point of why we do the things we do. We cannot let anything become a facade that blocks the truth of who God is and the truth of who he wants us to be. Verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Charles Spurgeon, speaking of this, says, "Will you kindly notice that knowledge is of no use if it does not lead to holy practice? They knew God. It was no good to them to know God, for they glorified him not as God." So my theological friend over there who knows so much that he can split hairs over doctrines, it does not matter what you think or what you know unless it leads you to glorify God and to be thankful. Whatever it is in our life that gets in front of God becomes an idol in our life. And if God lets us over to that thing, even if it's theology, if it's sin, if it's things we hide, we lose an understanding of who is. We block God. We block the glory of God from being poured out in our life. And our life, our future, our families, the people around us, do not get to experience Christ through us because we have a block up, a facade that blocks who he is from being shown to our world. The wrath of God is if he comes before us and says, "It's fine, keep your facade up." If he says, "It's fine, just live in unrighteousness, do whatever you want. It's fine, don't worry about truth, make your own truth, come up with your own thing." I'm so thankful that that's not who God is. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who sat and sits in glory, came to this earth. Why? To save us. What? From our sin, from our unrighteousness, to place us in a place where we are righteous before the Lord, where we can serve him, where we can honor him, where truth becomes real in my life, where the power of God becomes active in my life, where faith can be released in my life. And in fact, if we go back just a couple of verses, Romans 1:16, It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." And this morning, when I think of the wrath of God, I think, and I am so thankful that we get to skip out on the wrath of God. We don't have to worry about the wrath of God because we let the God of the universe speak to us and pour into us and show us through faith what and who we should be, show us where we should go, show us how we should live through the word of God, through his Holy Spirit speaking to us, so that we get to say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I will not walk in unrighteousness. I will not walk in a lie. I will walk on the truth and the power of God, and I do not care what culture would say. I do not care what society would say. I don't care what my family member would say. Does it line up with the word of God and what the Holy Spirit speaks to me through that word? And if not, I don't need it, I don't want it, and I don't care." And in our culture today, that's a hard stance to have. That's a hard stance to have because you can turn on any news program on any night and you can find things that are being normalized that do not line up with the word of God. You can find people who have been let go to do and to be manipulated and be controlled by the powers of this air, of this earth, not God. And today I pray that as Radiant Life, as individuals, we would be people that experience the power and the love of God because we know him. Because we walk in righteousness, because we're willing to take the hard road if that's what it takes. We're willing, like people in other countries, if it took it, to walk persecuted life because we understand the truth of the Bible, the truth of the word. And there's nothing, nothing worth than being given over to the things of this earth, to sin and to punishment and to shame. And this morning as we close, I believe that God has two groups of people, and really we all fit in the second group. But the first group is if you say today, "I've never given my life to Jesus." If you're here on a Sunday morning in the building, if you're at home, or if you're watching this 3 weeks after this is a recorded live here, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never asked him to be the Lord of your life, today is the day that he welcomes you home, and he doesn't want to exchange or have you exchange righteousness for unrighteousness, but you get to go the other way and give him your unrighteousness and watch as the God of the universe who died on a cross for you to take your sin as the perfect sacrifice, he wants to take your unrighteousness and make you pure and make you holy. What a crazy gift. But that's what the God of the universe desires, is relationship. He wants to turn the mess and the problems and the situations of our lives and all the things we've done, whether you feel you've been a good person or you feel you've been a train wreck, it makes no difference to God. He says, "Come home to me. Take my righteousness. Take my burden upon you." Line up to that norm. And that's the hard part. Am I willing to say, "Lord, I've been doing my own thing, but now I'm supposed to come into the norm"? No one likes to be normal, but in our term, we must be line up into the normal that is the word of God. Under the word of God, line up together, conform to what he has for us. And when we do, then all of a sudden he gives us freedom and hope and a life that we can never imagine before we submit to the God of the universe. And today, if you say, "I've never given my life to Jesus," it is so amazing. All you have to do is simply, in your mind, speak it out loud, however you want to do it. Say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin. Make me whole. I want to walk in relationship with you. I repent of what I was, of what I've done, of who I was, and I turn to you. I give you all I am." And the God of the universe stands with open arms. He says, "Come on, son or daughter, I adopt you into my family. The old is gone, it's done. I don't need to think about it anymore." Because forgiveness, it's instant. He loves you. Righteousness comes to you. Unrighteousness goes. And you know what that means? That means where you were given over to things, that tomorrow he might say, "Oh boy, you need to stop that." And you might say, "What? I don't want to stop that." And you've got to decide, am I going to walk in righteousness? which is wholeness and blessing and peace, it's gonna be the best thing for you? Or are we gonna resist? I said there's two areas today, two groups. Maybe the rest of us and some that you're struggling today. You try to serve the Lord, but you know there are unrighteous areas, just like Sin City and America, and you say, oh man, that's, I feel deep inside there's something that you don't want to give up, you don't want to give away, or maybe something that just is a vice on you. And you say, what happens there stays there. No one else knows, or very few people know. Maybe none of my Christian friends know. Today, the God of the universe would speak to you, son, daughter, give up the unrighteousness, because then I can bless you in a new way. We get to walk in a new level of relationship. And where you thought that was so good, I guarantee you, as your pastor, as your friend, as a fellow Christian and follower of Jesus, you give it up, and in days you'll be like, what was I doing? What was wrong with me? Because the righteousness of God is worth any sacrifice. And you'll never be the same when you fully give yourself to Him, every area. I say every one of us is in that group because every one of us, I feel pretty confident. I can speak for you. I definitely speak for me. We have areas that we need to offer to God. And you know what I think is amazing with God? When I think I've arrived, I'm like, that's the last one. I'm good. Have you ever got there? No, because the next day He's like, hey, Chris. You're like, what? That's not good? He's like, no, that's not the best things I have for you. And what do? Do we say, well, okay, let's do it. We're gonna take another step. Every day, I believe God wants to show us and reveal. Maybe our tongue isn't as good as we thought, and we say things that are hurtful, and we didn't even realize it. Guess what? God wants to help us. Maybe our anger or emotions, He says, I'm gonna help you. No more outbursts like once were, because you're gonna walk in righteousness. So today, if you're in this place, if you're at home, you're doing anything but driving, if you can stand to your feet, I would invite you to stand to your feet. If you can't stand to your physical feet, just in your heart. If you're that first group and you need to give your life to Jesus right now, I encourage you, open your mouth. Let God lead you and guide you. Speak to Him. Forgive me of my sins. Make me new. Make me whole. I repent of who I was, of what I've done, and I give you my life. I make you Lord of my life. And for every person in this room, at home, I pray that it's our prayer. Lord, help me. Help me, God, to give you everything. I want to walk in righteousness, and I don't want wrath to come upon me. Don't let me just be given over to the things of my life. Don't let me just be given over to them. But this morning, God, anything in me, I'm willing to offer to you. Anything you reveal to me that shouldn't be, I'm going to give it to you. And this morning, I can promise you, if you pray that prayer, if you receive that blessing today, you will leave changed, and God will be revealing to you consistently things in your life that He wants to do, growth steps. And you're never going to be disappointed. You're never going to be disappointed when you give God all that you can, all that you have as He reveals it to you. So this morning as we close, I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing upon you. Whatever group you are, in your own mind, in your own heart, with your own voice, I encourage you to pray with me. This is a corporate prayer time. You can pray as I pray over you. Let's get real. Let's get real with God. So Lord, this morning, Lord, we're so thankful that you are the God of the universe. We're so thankful that your glory, God, is unimaginable. That when we get little pieces of it, it blows us away. And Lord, we're so thankful that for some reason, you sent your son, Jesus. Jesus, you came to this earth and you died for us. You lived a perfect, sinless life so we can have righteousness, so we can walk holy before you, God. Not because of us, but because of you, Jesus. And Lord, this morning, we offer you all we are. We offer you every part of our life, God. Lord, we exchange our unrighteousness. We exchange what we've lived as a lie. Lord, we exchange these things and we say, God, we want righteousness. We want truth. We want your love in our life. So Lord, right now we offer you, would you forgive us? Would you forgive our country? Would you forgive our land, God? Lord, let us walk in unrighteousness, no matter what it takes, no matter what people would say or what people would think. God, give us boldness to stand upon your word, to stand upon the truth of your word, oh Lord. Let us walk in you. And Lord, I pray a prayer of blessing over each and every person here today at home. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, that you would let us be a people that walk in your power, that walk in your authority, that walk in your love, that walk in your truth, that walk in your righteousness. And because they walk, that they would be used mightily. You would each one be used mightily to encourage and to love your world into relationship with him. I speak blessing over you, over your homes, over your communities, that you would be mouthpieces for God, that you would be mouthpieces for the glory of God. Today, that the church would arise, not to turn away, but to walk right into what you have and to stand for truth and hope and justice. Lord, in our culture that's so divided, God, we pray that your righteousness from your church, God, would flow and bring hope and would bring truth. Lord, that you would bring something that we can't do on our own. We need you, Holy Spirit. And we commit to offering ourselves and to saying yes to your righteousness and yes to speaking your truth to our world. God, we love you. We need you. We need you, God. Lord, bless each one today. Lord, I pray maybe for someone specifically this morning that their home, the situation of their home right now is a wreck. Lord, I pray that even as they leave today, they would be able to submit to their spouse or to the people in their home. Lord, they would be able to submit to you first, and that their life at home, God, would be turned upside down. Lord, that what looked like it was going for divorce would not, but instead hope and peace and good relationship would come, God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you still move and you still speak. One more, I just feel that somebody today, you are so hopeless, maybe even at home, maybe from sickness, disease, I don't know, but God loves you so much. You're not hopeless because the God of the universe is with you and for you. Submit to him today and he's gonna wrap his arms around you. If it's at home, if it's in the room, he loves you. If you can just see it, the biggest bear hug ever, that's what God wants to do. Come, let him speak to you. Radiant Life, I hope you are encouraged today. The wrath of God is not for you. The wrath of God should be far, far, far from you, because we're going to be people who walk in righteousness and hope and peace, and it's our job. Let's take the righteousness of God to our world. Let him speak to you this week. Let him reveal himself to you this week. Let his love just overshadow anything that's going on in your life and tell somebody about who he is and about what he's done. Love you all, and so thankful for the opportunity to come and to bring the word to worship with you. Let's keep giving our world Jesus. Keep walking in him. Show our world love. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Have a great week.